The game stopification continues. I'm David Brancaccio. This morning, the Dow is up in early trading, 132 points, 0.4%. The S&P and the NASDAQ are each up in the 6 to 7 tenths percent range. Amateur investors are still buying downtrodden financial instruments, wrong-footing the Wall Street big shots. Now getting bid upward, not a stock, but silver, that stuff in your earring. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Retail investors believe that big banks have bet against a rise in silver prices, so the little guys can cause financial pain for the big guys, or in Wall Street jargon, cause a short squeeze if they bid up silver's price. Now, this was the same strategy employed with GameStop, and in that case, it worked. Some hedge funds suffered losses, but big banks have a lot more assets, and analysts are skeptical of a long-term impact.
Silver's up 11% right now. Due this week, Amazon's pandemic-era profits last quarter. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
eMarketer projects that Amazon sold nearly $500 billion worth of stuff last year. That would be 37% more than the year before. eMarketer analyst Andrew Lipsman says Amazon's gained market share against its brick-and-mortar-bound competitors as consumers rushed to buy online.
The big question about some of these habits that people have adopted with e-commerce is what carries forward. The biggest category is grocery, household essentials, where Amazon's really well positioned.
With its Prime service, an extensive network of fulfillment centers. One risk going forward, says Nick Shields at Third Bridge, is that Amazon's growing market power could turn consumers off.
From a sort of PR and marketing standpoint, they should be worried about some of these efforts among consumers to shop at their local small businesses.
And Shields says once the economy reopens, some new Amazon customers could go back to shopping in person because they missed it in the pandemic. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Not clear if it ever went anywhere, but the Wall Street Journal's reporting that Exxon and Chevron talked about a merger. If such a thing were to happen, the deal would be the size of something between Jupiter and Saturn. Nationwide, vaccine scheduling is running headlong into limited vaccine supply. Last-minute appointments can work, but others get stiffed, as Blake Farmer of WPLN reports.
Being summoned to get a shot has been a pleasant surprise for many seniors in Tennessee. 86-year-old David Gibbs was happy to race down to a church in the town of Lebanon hosting the county health department's drive-through vaccinations.
So they call about 35, 40 minutes ago and said, if I could be up here by 3:30, we could have our shots. And I said, I'll be there. I just hope I didn't get no tickets on the way.
Tennessee's local health departments started out having people go online and claim an appointment time. That ended up not working so well because the state has no guarantee how many doses will come from manufacturers, and some people wouldn't show up for their appointments, resulting in extra doses that needed to be used before they spoiled. So Tennessee moved to a system where people put their name on a list and then just wait for a call. 77-year-old Sharon Erdman saw online there were hundreds of people in front of her and her husband.
So I thought, oh, we're never going to get in until sometime maybe February, you know, because they're only doing so many people. And so anyhow, I was just shocked when I got the call this morning to come today. I said, we'll be right there.
But not everyone can move so quickly. Some seniors can no longer drive and would need more time to hitch a ride. Some might have to use public transportation, which would be even tougher since most county vaccination sites are geared toward people in cars. In some cities, there's talk of using Meals on Wheels to get people to appointments. Brian Hale with Neighborhood Health, a system of nonprofit clinics, says health departments have to find a more equitable solution.
Otherwise, we're just going to tell people, if you don't have car keys, you can't get a vaccine. And that's inherently unfair.
Already, statistics on COVID vaccinations here in Tennessee and elsewhere are revealing some of the same disparities that have long persisted in healthcare. Hale says that means well-off white people are having an easier time finding their way to the front of the line. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
Early in our Fast Track coverage about vaccine distribution, we learned about the term vaccine nationalism, giving dibs on COVID vaccines to your country. Today, the European Commission said it figured out a way to get 9 million more doses of Oxford AstraZeneca's vaccine by March, an improvement on last week, but still half the original plan. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, joins us now from London. Hi there.
Hey, David, how's it going?
Good. This is in part a factory production problem?
Exactly. So last week, AstraZeneca warned that production problems at its plants in the Netherlands and Belgium would equate to a roughly 60% cut in supplies to the EU by the end of March. Now, the delayed shipments weren't just to the EU, but also to Thailand and Norway. The news, though, was met with absolute fury from Brussels and days of tense exchanges. The EU argued the supply contracts it signed with AstraZeneca were binding, and the company said it only needed to provide, quote, its best reasonable efforts to meet those targets.
Now, Britain has also been drawn into this. I guess the confidential contract for those vaccines came out last week.
Indeed, the European Commission published that document and suggested that in order for AstraZeneca to meet its EU obligations, it could just pull supplies manufactured in the UK and send those to the 27 EU nations. AstraZeneca basically said, you're not first in line. And it said the contract for UK supplies meant it must fulfill Britain's orders before it can reroute supplies elsewhere. It's also worth noting here that the UK inked its deal with AstraZeneca 3 months before the EU did.
All right. Victoria Craig, Marketplace BBC in London. Thank you so much.
No problem.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.